You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I've been waiting weeks to preach this. If you're there, say amen. Should be up on the screen. It says this: and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and the house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord of the presence of God where the mercy seat was, with shouting, with the sound of a horn. Verse 16, and the ark of the Lord came into the city, and David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw the king David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Jump down to verse 20. And David returned to bless the household, but Michal, the daughter of Saul came out to meet David and said, how the king has honored himself today. She's mocking him. Uncovering himself today before the eyes of the servants, female servants, as one of these vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, it was before the Lord. Who chose me above your father and above this house to appoint me as prince of Israel and the people of the Lord. And I will celebrate before the Lord. Look at verse 22. And I will make myself even more undignified than this. And I will be abased in your eyes, but the female servants whom you have spoken of, they shall hold me in honor. Verse 23 says, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to that day, to the day of her death. To keep your dignity, you will lose your intimacy. Fasting creates an undignified faith. The title of this message this morning is Undignified Faith. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we say that you're welcome in this place. You're the guest of honor. We say, have your way. Lord, I declare that your word is true and every man's a liar. We declare that your word is a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. We hide your word in our heart that we won't sin against you. Lord, we declare, give us ears to hear, give us hearts to receive, give us minds to understand what your spirit is saying. Holy Spirit, I pray that you blow upon your logos word and it becomes rhema in this place today. We declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this house. We say fear, you have to go. We declare anxiety, you have to go. We declare no spirit is welcome here. Lord, I thank you. No one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. Teach us your mercy culture. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Mercy Culture Church has been built on prayer and fasting. This morning, I'm going to teach you on the power of fasting. About 20 people just got so bummed right now. They're like, I thought you were going to give us 2020 blessings for 2020. No, save that for the internet. I'm going to teach you on fasting today. But I don't want you to look at it as fasting. I want you to look at it as miracles. Mercy Culture has been built on prayer and fasting. You say, what do you mean it's been built on prayer and fasting? And I want to say this humbly, But I don't want you to hear anything that sounds braggadocious at all. But in the last 2.5 years, I have engaged 4 40-day fasts just for this church. Our team has done multiple 21-day fasts. And it's actually one of the things that Dr. Brown mentioned when he came. He said, your church is 3 months old and they're already fasting 21 days. And it feels like a mature church. And because maturity happens through prayer and fasting. I want to be honest with you. I hate fasting, but I love the results. So the results outweigh the uncomfortableness of it. I'll talk to you about fasting. What is fasting if you're unfamiliar? Fasting is the deliberate, temporary abstention from food for spiritual reasons. Fasting, I want you to, if you're taking notes, just remember this, especially if you're a millennial. Fasting without prayer is just a diet. When I say fast, I mean you don't eat and you pray. You replace food with prayer. You say, why don't I hear a lot about fasting in church? Because not a lot of people fast. But I'm going to tell you why it's so important, because Jesus modeled a life of prayer and fasting. Matthew 1 says this, that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted after fasting. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to do one thing, to fast. And before he began his ministry, he fasted. Then Jesus said this, that his disciples would fast. Matthew 9, verse 14, it says, then the disciples came to John asking, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them. Can they? But the days will come that the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then, look at scripture, they will fast. Let me say it this way. All disciples of Jesus are called to fast. This is not your pastor's job. Fasting is for everyone. Turn to the person next to you and say, fasting's for everyone. Turn to your second choice and say, you too. Matthew 6, look at this. Jesus speaking, it's written in red. I don't know if it's red on the screen, but it's red in my Bible. Jesus said this, when you fast, do not be like somber like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they already have received their full reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that when you're fasting, it's not obvious to men, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Go back to the verse 16. It says, when you fast. Can I tell you who that scripture is talking about when it's talking about you? It's talking about you. Does it say when the elders fast? It says when you fast. Fasting is for everyone, not just the people that don't like fasting. The reason why people don't fast is because it's not fun. They're like, can't I just get up and prophesy? Can I just interpret a dance? That would be way funner. Can I just do that? Can I just do something else? Is there anything else I could do? No, fasting is for everyone. In fact, if you just read Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching about three things that speak to the standard of a practicing a Christian life. Speaks to three things, praying, fasting, and giving in Matthew chapter 6. So say it this way. There are three things that directly reflect your spiritual maturity. Fasting, praying, and giving. So if you have to be convinced to fast, to pray, to give, then you will stay in a spiritually immature state. And then you're wondering why 10 years down the road, you still have the same spiritual strength you had 10 years ago. Because you haven't spiritually grown. It's not rocket science. Like, what's the secret? Praying, giving, fasting. Well, I don't like doing those things. Praying, giving, fasting. But these are the things that spiritually mature you. And here's the thing, is they reflect, fasting reflects your spiritual strength. Fasting touches heaven. Matthew 17, 21. Howbeit this kind only go out through prayer and fasting, Jesus said. When the disciples and Pharisees couldn't cast out a devil, but Jesus, who had already prayed and fasted, was ready for the devil. And he was able to cast it out. I'll say this, fasting opens doors that no man can open. Fasting opens the doors of heaven. So when I began the first 40-day fast, going into just even praying on, I called it the mercy fast. And I was praying about even starting the church. And I was living in Austin at the time, and I'm in the Dallas Love Field airport talking to Pastor Zane. And I was walking by the pizza place in the airport, because I remember right where I was, and Pastor Zane, I was on the phone with them, and he said, "Landon, I just felt this in my spirit." This is why it's so important that you're around godly, spiritual, good people, because they'll just prophesy and say things just casually. You don't got to be at the altar to hear a word from the Lord. In fact, majority of the times when I hear from God, I'm not in church. Can I get an amen, everybody? Amen. Pastor Zane says to me on the phone, he said, I'm just walking in the airport, going on my next preaching engagement, and he said, this time next year, something's going to happen, and you're going to hear the Lord say, this is a result of the fast. And I just felt something hit my chest as I walked. I felt the Spirit just hit me. So then fast forward, the Lord spoke to me to get Pastor Robert Morris's blessing of Gateway. And I reached out to the one person I knew at Gateway, my friend Josh Briscoe. And then he led me to a guy named Todd Bolt. And Todd Bolt sent me to Jimmy Evans Pastor School. Jimmy Evans Pastor School, they gave me this amazing book on the foundations of a healthy church, godly, biblical government, written by a guy named Tom Lane. And I'm like, this Tom Lane guy is brilliant. Read the book 3 times. Then I had all of our elders read the book. I had our team read the book. And I said, guys, we're going to have healthy biblical governments. What it looks like is this, is it's singular headship with plural leadership. You say, what does that mean? I am the lead pastor, but we are governed by elders. So I have accountability. I'm one of the elders and I submit to the eldership. So I'm not a rogue guy doing whatever I want to. I had a pastor challenge me one time and he's like, well, so you mean to tell me that if God speaks to you, you're going to disobey God? I said, no, I believe the same God that speaks to me will speak to these other individuals. And it's an amazing thing. I don't believe I'm the only human being on the planet God speaks to. Then we have apostolic elders that we are accountable. So I messaged Pastor Tom. I emailed him. He eats breakfast, speaking of fasting, at McDonald's every day. You're amazing is how good of a shape he is. Because he brings his own salad dressing. That's another story. So I sent him an email and I said, I have 18 questions. Can I meet with you? And so he gave me one opportunity to meet with him in 3 months. So I got up at 3 a.m, drove from Austin, went to the McDonald's he said to meet at. I sit down with him and I said, I have 18 questions for you. I don't know if I'll ever meet with you again. Before I ask you my questions, do you have a question for me? And he said, yeah, who's sending you? I'm like, well, I've gone through church planting. I got Pastor Zane. I got fathers. I got people behind us, but no one's really sending us. He said, what do you think about Gateway doing it? I said, do you do that? He said, no. I'm like, what would that look like? He's like, I don't know. I said, I got 13 people here about ready to plant a church. And he said, well, why don't you guys just come to service? Let's pray. So we prayed, and I met with him a month later, and he said, why don't you pause the launch of your church, intern at Gateway for a year. We'll train you, and then we'll send you. He said, go pray about it. The moment he said at the Starbucks down in Fort Worth, the moment he said, go pray about it, I heard in my spirit, this is a result of the fast. So I had other church planters call me. They're like, how did you get Gateway to do that? I'm like, newsflash, bud. You don't get Gateway to do that. This is a result of the fast. Watch, it wasn't my resume. It wasn't my pedigree. It's not my ability. It was God going before us. Fasting opens doors that no man can open. It opens heaven's doors. Quickly, a few kinds of fasts. There's a water fast that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah did. There's partial fasts like the Daniel fast. So when we fast as a church, Mercy Culture, we'll do a Daniel fast. Unless you're a vegan, that's not fasting, so do something else. I see you vegans, I see you. Like, oh, I've been fasting 6 years. No, you. There's full fast, no water, no food, like Esther did in the children of Israel for 3 days. Then we have liquid fast. When I do my 40-day fast, I do liquid fast. My joke is that Jesus, Elijah, and Moses didn't have 3 kids under 8 years old. So if you want to know practically, I drink little non-dairy muscle milk and a lot of juice. That's what I do for 40 days. No food. That's what I do on my fast. Married couples, and there's kids in the room. So married couples have married fasts for married people things. That's 1 Corinthians 7:5. And if you're not married, you should be always doing those fasts. Can I get an amen, saints? Corporate fasts, which we're doing this weekend. You know, you people are like, I only fast when God tells me. Well, God has never told you, huh? So the corporate fasts help you get in the boat. Right about now is when a Facebook theologian jumps in and they're like, fasting isn't good for you. Yeah, says the guy that's at Krispy Kreme every time the red light's on. Wait, come on. Fasting is actually very good for you. It's a natural detox to all the stuff that we put in our bodies that shouldn't be there. So I'm gonna give you some practical things and I'm gonna get deep in the text. Practical advice for fasting. Number one, name your fast. Name your fast. What do I mean by that? Put a demand of faith on the fast. Every fast I go on, I declare something over it. And let me just pastor you, please don't fast for money ever. Because there's no such thing as money being a miracle. God does miracles without it. If it's money related, then you're leaning towards mammon, not God. God answers in creative miracles. He doesn't need money. He's God. So I would just like to pastor you. Don't waste your fast on money, please. So name your fast. Okay. Don't boast about fasting. So if you're late, you just walk in the door. Hey, guys, I'm late. Sorry. It was hard to get up. I've been fasting for 2 hours. Wait, you just missed breakfast? Yes, but it's a fast. I called it. I missed breakfast, so I fast. The line was too long at Chick-fil-A, so I'm calling it a fast. Don't boast about it. I read you the scripture, put oil on your face. People shouldn't know, but then don't be weird about it. What's weird about it? When people are like, hey, you want some food? And you're like, oh, no, I'm good. They're like, if you're around Christian people or spiritual people, they're like, are you fasting? And then you're like in the valley of decision. You're like, do I tell him I'm fasting and lose my reward? What do I do? I don't want you to be like, and then you start lying. No, I'm not fasting. Don't be weird about it. Someone asks you, are you fasting? You're like, yeah, I'm fasting. All right, great. I'm gonna eat this donut. Don't be weird. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be weird. Come on, in charismatic churches, we need to say that a lot more. Don't be weird. Okay, I want you to be aware. Your flesh will be provoked. What does that mean? You will be grumpy and irritated. Your kids can be like, Dad. You're like, what? I love you. Oh, I love you too. I love you. Go tell your mom. Prepare, you're gonna be grumpy and irritated. You wanna be wise when you fast. You wanna be wise. I hear this a lot from preachers, and I won't say it in my church, but preachers say, like, you wanna consult your doctor before you're fasting. I'm like, no, you should consult your father. But I'm not gonna put a doctor that doesn't know the Lord before a spiritual discipline. But you wanna be wise. So if you're pregnant, probably shouldn't fast because you and the baby aren't in unity on it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you want to be wise. I don't recommend an 8-week prune juice fast. I just don't recommend it. You want to be wise. Practical. If you fail in your fast, start over. People all the time are like, Pastor, I ruined the fast. Okay, start over. Just start over the next day. You're like, I'm so weak. Yes, that's what this is all about. You're weak. We'll get you there. Start over. Do your best. Start where you can. I started fasting in high school. My youth pastor was a guy named Israel Campbell. He's ministered at Mercy Culture before. And him and I, he's the one that started me on the journey of fasting my sophomore year in high school. And so we just started for a week at a time. We started doing juice fast together. And I would do juice, and then I'd eat muffins. That's all I'd eat, juice and muffins for a week, playing football in high school and playing sports. But that's how I started on my fast. Listen, it doesn't matter what you're fasting or what kind of fast you're doing. Here's what matters, is that you're spiritually pushing yourself. So we're recommending a Daniel fast. to people to start out. But some of you, fasting pop might be just like so huge. But you want to make sure you push yourself. Okay. Three spiritual benefits, if you're taking notes. Three spiritual benefits of fasting. Number one, it produces humility. Humility is the first and primary character of Jesus. Pride is the first and primary character of Satan. The first step into humility is resisting pride. So practically, pride typically feels, I like to describe it like a balloon puffing. So you know when you blow on a balloon and it just, there's that initial burst that you have to kind of blow hard at first and it just puffs up? That's what pride feels like in your heart. It feels like, who are you to talk to me like that? Pride sounds like, no, I've been saved longer than you. I'm more mature than you. You know, I'm more wealthy than you. I'm this than you. I went to Bible college. Where'd you go? Pride sounds like, who are you to talk to me? Pride is the number one character of Satan. You don't resemble, I say it like this way. When you are walking in pride, you are giving Satan access to your life. So the first step, I say this, don't worry, young people, especially young men. All young men are prideful. Let me just help you. You're like, I don't know, am I prideful? Yes, got a word of knowledge. This section here. This section. Not so much this section, more this section. You're like, yes, all of us have this. All of us have to work on this. But the first step is to begin to resist it. So when you feel that, who are you to talk to me? That's pride coming up. The first step is to resist pride. The second step is to start pursuing humility. Fasting pursues humility. In the Old Testament, they would put on sackcloth and ashes. They would humble themselves as they would go and fast before the Lord. Number two, fasting creates a spiritual sensitivity. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these oppose each other. Do you know why it's difficult to fast? Because your flesh and your spirit are opposing each other. Isn't it interesting why it's so easy to do fleshly things? Like you can watch three seasons of something on Netflix in one weekend, but to read the New Testament in 21 days, you're like, oh, it's 11 chapters a day. That's gonna take me 45 minutes. I can never do that. But you can watch 3 hours a night. Man, that's easy. And it's amazing because it just plays the next episode for you. I got good news. Our reading plan on the YouVersion app, it'll just read the next chapter for you too. So we got you covered. It will give you a spiritual sensitivity. So when I'm doing these extended fasts, it's hard to explain, but my knower just turns on. It's this weird thing that I just know and feel things that I shouldn't know or feel things when I'm fasting. And something around the 20th day, things begin to change. And even when Heather and I are talking or making decisions on things, I'll tell her, I said, babe, I could feel, I know it in my spirit. I could feel it in my spirit. Why? Because you are disciplining your flesh and your spirit starts to come alive. But majority of what we do all the time is we feed our flesh and we suppress our spirit. That's why we're having this solemn assembly. What's a solemn assembly? It's a week set aside for prayer and worship. We're gonna pray over this place. We're gonna pray over the parking lot, over rooms. We're gonna walk the property. We're gonna pray over each other. We're gonna pray over the city. For 7 days, we're just gonna pray. We're gonna pray and we're gonna worship. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna make our spirits more sensitive. Someone say amen. Amen. Number three, fasting prepares the way for miracles. Bible says that all the books in the world couldn't keep track of Jesus' miracles, but he began his ministry with prayer and fasting. I've heard people say, in fact, if I'm honest, I've repeated people saying, fasting doesn't move God, it moves you. I don't know if I agree with that. I think from a biblical standpoint, fasting does move God. I think God can be moved. Let me say it a different way. I think fasting gives you access to his throne. And the reason I can say that boldly is because I have experienced it. Let's go back to our story in 2 Samuel. You have King David, who was a shepherd boy, who God calls the prophet Samuel to anoint. He becomes king. He replaces King Saul. But when he killed Goliath, he got Saul's daughter to be his wife with a large amount of money. So fast forward, Saul did not steward the presence well, so they lost the presence in battle. And because they lost the presence in battle, it went to the Philistines. So David made it his priority when he became king to get the ark back. David's obsession was the presence. So in this story, we focus a lot of when the ark was mishandled on the cart, when the oxen stumbled. But if you continue to read in 2 Samuel chapter 6, more happened. In verse 14, it says this, "And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod." When he said he danced, if you study this in the Hebrew, he literally spun in circles almost angrily. That's how much passion he had. He danced with all of his passion. You know what I love about this morning? People were worshiping with passion. People say, "I don't know about why would you need to go down front?" Try it, see what happens. "Well, God can reach me just where I'm at." Well, does he? Absolutely he can. And he will, but it's just about a heart condition. Because I like worship in the back. At Mercy Culture, I'd go back by the sound booth at the old Pasco High School, and I'd worship in the back, and guess what? Every week, I would feel the tangible presence of God. I'd be on my knees with the sound people and the tech people tripping over chords. Yes, God could reach you in the back because my heart is in the front. David's heart was set afire. His heart was set ablaze. Violent effort, violent leaping, and then he stripped off his royal robes. Scripture says he wore an ephod. Now I want to be very, very clear, because many poor teachers have botched this. David was not naked. He was not in a state of complete undress. Let me show you in the scripture what took place. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, 27, it says David was wearing two garments. He was wearing a robe of fine linen, or that was his kingly garments. Then underneath that, if you go down, he was also wearing a linen ephod. I don't know if we have that picture. Do we have that picture of that ephod? An ephod was the priestly garments that they would wear underneath their clothes. And what they would do, that's the wrong one, guys. It's okay, new building, we'll get ahead of it. We got an amazing serve team that's serving awesome all the time. Love you guys. Come on, give them a hand. You guys are incredible. But that's the next one, so get ready for it. I'll say it like this. It's like wearing pajamas. This linen undergarment. In fact, even the servant boys would wear this. So if you read in 1 Samuel, Samuel wore a linen ephod as he served in the house of the Lord. So here's what he did. He was like wearing his pajamas. He takes off his priestly, kingly, royal robes, and now he's wearing a servant's priest robe. And he's dancing with all of his might. And here's what it says, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 20. It says, "But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'Oh, how the king has honored himself, uncovering himself today.'" Now, you know what's interesting about this? She came out to meet David, but she didn't come out to meet God. She's so focused on what he's doing. She doesn't even care that the presence is in the place. The presence has come back. Maybe she didn't care because her father didn't care. Maybe you've been raised in an environment that hasn't honored the presence of God. So to you, it looks foolish. And here's what the Bible says. It says, isn't it unbefitting? You have uncovered yourself. That word uncovered in the Hebrew is nigla. It means this. It means you've exposed a part of you. But he did not undress and expose his physical body. He exposed his heart. That's why God said David is a man after his own heart. Listen, he wasn't focused on a king's crown. He wasn't focused on a king's garment. He was focused on his father's presence. The Bible says, she said it's unbefitting. She objected at his behavior. She said, you're acting like a shepherd boy. But David didn't forget what got him in front of the king in the first place. David didn't forget where that anointing came from. The anointing did not come from a palace. The anointing came from dancing undignified before the Lord. That wasn't the first time that David was dancing like that. In fact, that was his regular routine. Here's what I found is people stop praising God when they get around other people. And here's what she did. Watch this. The Bible says that she looked out of the window. Do you know what that's like? It's like social media. I'm just going to mock those crazy people. And what are you doing? And they're dancing and their banners. And why would you act like that? Literally saw other people mocking our Sabbath Sunday. Oh, we don't take days off ever. Maybe that's why you have no peace. Maybe that's why you don't have breakthrough. Maybe you're doing it in your own effort. You're not trusting in the Lord. I've had literally pastors say, well, what are you doing with that shofar? You're joking, right? Dead serious. Dead serious. You're like, why? Why not? I was at a service when I was in my early 20s. And there was waves of the glory. Big John, there was waves of the glory. I went up to the pastor afterwards, and he was actually a Messianic Jew. And I said, what was that? He said, oh, I just read the Levitical blessing over the people. He said, oh, every time you do that, waves of the glory come. He said, if you ever do that and blow a shofar, watch out. So I went and got me a shofar. Because I was in a service with waves of the glory. And I didn't know how to blow it, so I got Steve, who played trumpet in high school, and Steve and I would go around the country, traveling and ministering, blowing shofars. We went downtown San Francisco to the largest rainbow flag in the entire city. And I asked the senior pastor, I said, hey, is it okay if we blow the shofar into the flag? And he's like, you understand that's an act of war. I said, yes, sir, I understand it's active. He said, go for it. They could stand in their windows and mock. I'm going to chase the presence. They could stand in behind their social media and doubt. I'm going to chase the presence of the king. Listen, none of it's for him. Here's what David said. I love this. He said it was before the Lord. I'm not dancing for your criticism. I'm not shouting for your approval. I'm not blowing a shofar to impress you. I'm doing it before the Lord. Watch, watch, watch. People of great carnality will always mock people of great spirituality. And it says this in verse 23, that Michael had no child to the day of her death. You know what's interesting? The scripture doesn't say God closed her womb. Many times in scripture says they were barren. Their wombs were closed. Her womb was open. David said, I'm not going to be intimate with you. You're not intimate with God. Here's the thing. We can't be intimate with individuals that aren't intimate with God. That's how you become unequally yoked. Worship team, come and join me on the stage. I'm trying to hurry. So I want to share the last story of the fast. And I know you guys saw the video, but I want to tell you what happened. So we had been praying, believing God for a building. And Pastor Zane prophesied May 5th on the stage of Mercy Culture on a Sunday night. He said, I saw you guys in a circular place. He said, don't get comfortable here because you're not going to be here for long. He said that in the school on May 5th. A month and a half later, I'm sitting down with Pastor Tom, and I always start out my conversations with Pastor Tom the same way. I say, I got things to ask you because I respect his time and I come to meetings ready. I said, but is there anything you want to tell me? He said, I'll wait to the end. So we get done with the meeting, and he said, there's only one thing that I felt the Lord tell me for you this morning. And I said, what's that? He said, I felt the Lord tell me to tell you to be aggressive about your building. And when I feel the Lord, it's almost like I feel it hit my chest. And when he said it to me, his words hit me in the chest. And I woke up the next day, and the moment I woke up, I heard the Lord say, fast. Because how do you get spiritually aggressive? You fast. So Mercy Culture went on a 21-day fast. Hey. We'll get it figured out. And I went on a 40. And I'm saying this humbly. And if I was on a fast, I wouldn't tell you what I was doing. But the fast starts tomorrow, so I'll tell you today. And I named the fast the building fast. And I walked around this campus every single day for 40 days at 5 in the morning. And I asked the Lord to give it to us. I said, Lord, you said you would give it to us. So I'm going to give it back to you. I said to Heather when we started this fast, I said, babe, do you understand? This is 99% impossible. They don't know us. Who does this? 17 acres, this place, this, no way. This would take a miracle. I walked around the building for 40 days. I asked the Lord to give it to us. You saw the video, you know the story. So we came into agreement, we came into unity. And then we're preparing to tell you. We're making the video that you saw. Paul and Brandon, the team, you guys did a great job. Thank you, Chris. And so Paul said to me, well, why don't you just walk around the building and I'll film you. Just show me where you walked on those 40 days. So I'm like, I'm not going to pretend to pray. I'm going to start praying. It's just weird. So I started walking around the building, praying in the Holy Ghost, because I pray in the Holy Ghost, because God speaks to you when you pray in the Holy Ghost. So I'm walking around the building, praying, and all of a sudden, Pastor Charlie, I'm remembering word for word what I prayed every day walking around the building. And then it hits me like, oh my goodness. The key to the building was around my neck. I was like, God answered these prayers. The craziest thing is when I did the 40-day fast, I had this feeling that I was supposed to walk around the building another 40 days, but I didn't do it because I didn't have clarity. And I was kind of hoping the Lord would let me off the hook with fasting for a second. And I heard the Lord speak to me clearly to fast again about a month ago. And as I'm walking around this building, they're filming this video. I'm walking around it. And I hear the Lord speak to me and says, I want you to walk around it again and fast for another 40 days. He said, but this time you're not believing for a miracle building. I want you to believe for miracles in the building. Yeah. And Paul's filming me and he's walking by and I pulled out my phone and I said, you know what? I said, I actually have a picture, a video. I said, I filmed myself on the last day of the fast when I walked around 7 times in my bare feet when I blew the shofar. If you have that video, play it right now if you have that. And I filmed myself. So when you saw that video that we put out there, this is my cell phone. I put it down on that, up right up there. And I'm walking around and I show Paul this video and I see myself in my pajamas with the tallit around my head, walking barefoot, holding a shofar at 5 a.m. And the thought went through my head, this is ridiculous. And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me. He said, stay ridiculous. David was wearing pajamas, acting ridiculous. This church is going to have undignified, ridiculous, unwavering, unfaltering, not normal faith. We will look foolish before the eyes of man. We'll look foolish before the sophisticated. We'll look foolish before people as long as we can capture the heart of God, the eyes of God. He said this, I will stay or I will be even more undignified than this. There's somebody that needs to get this cry in your heart. Lord, I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I sound like. I will worship you undignified. I will pray undignified. I will fast undignified. I will live an undignified faith. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The most ridiculous thing that you can ever do is believe that God became man, came to earth to forgive you of all of your sins. That's the most ridiculous thing you can ever believe in your life. And that's why we call it faith.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.